Hey, good morning. I think maybe somebody's out there. This is Bill Bagshaw, KSBE.
Yes, this is Linda Thurston from USD 288 Central Heights.
Oh,
This is Joyce Frederickson from the Catholic Diocese in Wichita. Have you canceled the meeting?
no,
Oh,
we're going to
okay.
have it.
Perfect.
This is Amy Roper from USD 242 Weskin.
J.K. Campbell, USD 465 Winfield.
Morning, J.K.
Good morning, Bill.
Sue Jenkins, Southwest Plains.
Good morning.
Hey, Jeanette.
Jeanette's not on the call. This is Bill.
Hi, Bill. It's Michelle. I'm going to join you all via the telephone. I was trying to email and let you know that.
Oh, great. Thanks.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling a little better, thank you. I probably
Okay.
sound a little nasally, but.
Good, good, good. I'm glad you're back among the living.
Well, thank you. I appreciate all your support this last week. It's been a little challenge, but.
No worries. If you need anything today or whatever, let me know. I'm available. I'm just going to stay in my little end of the world.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Sure. So if you haven't checked in and let me know that you're there, if you would do that, please, I'd appreciate it. I'm trying to keep a log of districts and individuals who are on the line so I'll know who to follow up with or who to check in on.
This is Larry, chair for Moscow and Stoughton County.
Hi, Larry.
This is Holly Francis, USD 402, Augusta.
Bill, did you get me when I checked in, Joyce Frederickson?
I do now, Joyce. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, Bill, this is Todd.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is Todd Wiedemann, chair of Wichita.
Is that in Kansas? Is it Todd in Kansas?
It's in Oklahoma, but I'm just calling into Kansas today.
Okay. Oklahoma's having a bad day today after last night, I understand.
Yeah, that's why I'm down here. Sorry.
This is Janine Murphy, USD 449, Easton.
Thank you.
Bill Bierman, USD 352, Goodland.
Thank you. Again, we'll wait a few minutes. It's just a couple of minutes after 10, and people are checking in, and I hear beeps. So, as you sign on, if you haven't let us know who you are, if you would do that, please, as we're recording participants this morning. This is Bill Bagshaw at KSDE, and attending with me this morning is Pat Hill. She is working with our KISA work group here at KSDE, and she's helping me do some recording. And also, I'm recording this call, so if there are others at some time who need this, we can make access to this recording to them to help as well. So we'll wait just a few more seconds to see if anybody chimes in, and if they do during the call, we can let them know that we know they're here and get their name through. I think the
This is
oh, go ahead.
Antoinette Root at Pawnee Heights.
Thank you.
This is Holly Francis, USD 402, Augusta.
Thanks, Holly. So I think the most important thing as we get started here to note is the purpose of these calls is to give you any assistance or guidance, and probably best describe these efforts as Q&A, because obviously we want you to have the information that you need, or if you have any questions or something comes up that we can assist you with, we want to do that. So how long this call takes will just depend on you. I know your time is valuable, and around the state, I think we do have some weather conditions, so I appreciate those of you who have made the effort to get in here with us. I don't know if some of you are at home or your school is either delayed or canceled, but just the same, we really appreciate that. So thank you for taking the time. I think I'll start out this morning by letting you know that there are a couple of things going on here with us that we want to keep system leaders and those of you who are so gracious to use your time in serving as chair. Want to let you know what we're working on and what we're doing, and if you have questions about that, please don't hesitate to jump in and ask questions. As you know, this whole process has been one that has been evolving. We take a lot of pride in the fact that we don't feel like we've ever been in a situation where we've had to backtrack and undo something. Obviously, that's counterproductive and confusing. The bad part about going slow and working hard and trying to get it right is sometimes there are people out there, either for lack of information or sometime, unfortunately, a misunderstanding of something, don't understand something, and so we've got to troubleshoot that and kind of help people get back on track, and sometimes that happens. But I do really appreciate the fact that many of you have reached out to either Jeanette or I or Michelle with questions, and I want to assure you that we spend a great deal of time either on the phone or face-to-face addressing those. Our KISA web pages are soon to be updated with some late-breaking information, some additional information, and so you may want to check in on those from time to time and see how that is going, and obviously don't hesitate to call us. So the first thing that has been a point of discussion with us here lately is the purpose and or the use of the outside visitation team workbook. And I'd like to remind you that the purpose of the design of that workbook, just as it stipulates on the front, it's an outside visitation team workbook and a resource for those of you who are serving on the outside visitation team and as chair to understand what the expectations are or what your role in the process to guide you in a way that supports you, even though you're all a little different and we want that, and knowing what information you need to be looking for and give you that information that you can best use to assist those systems that you're working with as a chair or an ODT member. The other thing that has happened here in this last year is as we have developed the ARC, the Accreditation Review Council, and of course that's the group of your peers who represent the state, who will ultimately be looking at the evidence and the submissions that the chair provide to them to come up with a recommendation that they will make ultimately to the state board as to what level of accreditation your system is going to be awarded with at the end of the process. So I say very often that my perspective here is to give you the information that you need that you will ultimately give to the ARC, because my primary concern is that the ARC will have the information that you want them to have so they have the best information to come up with the best and most fair recommendation to the state board about the accreditation level that your system will have attained. So speaking directly to the workbook, the workbook is a tool for the chair and the team. Now, there are no secrets here. In a process that we want to be very transparent, we have made that workbook available for all to see, of course, including the leadership and the systems themselves. And we hope and we think it would be a good idea for them to utilize That is a resource as well as they're going through any given year, 1 through 5, and as they plan particularly for their OVT visits in the spring. So some of the confusion is on the part of the systems about why do they have to fill out the workbook, or if they fill the workbook out, who do they submit that to, and that's just not the case. So technically there is nothing that a system needs to do with that workbook other than to utilize it how they see it helping them in their process. The ARC, going back to their first meeting last September, felt very strongly that the workbook was a great way to document the progress, the strategies, goals, and document all of those things that are part of the annual visit in a way that will create a historical document, if you will, that will show the progress a system makes throughout this time period, whether it's 5 years or it's an abbreviated version of 3, 4, or even for those 3 or 4 systems that are public school systems who are starting in year 5. So what we're asking here, and this is the key point, we're asking for the person serving as the chair to assume the responsibility that that workbook is filled out. In other words, it documents the conversations that take place at the outside visitation team visit in the spring for each year. So, for example, and I think most of you are representing this morning systems that are beginning in year 1, 2, or 3. So let's say you're a first-year system, and the chair holds the visit in the spring. What we would hope would be basically pages 1 through 14, I think, in that workbook, have some questions, some prompts, some places to record some evidence about that you're meeting your compliance issues and some checkmark kind of things, that those things are recorded there. So this spring, if you're a year 1 chair, we would want for you to use that fillable workbook and record those conversations just for that year 1 portion. That's all you could do because you're year 1. So you would fill out the year 1 portion and have it saved in the fillable version of the workbook. Now, a tip, and here's what I would do personally, if I was serving as a chair in year 1, I would be communicating with the system during the year. We would set the date. We would set an agenda. I would ask the system leader to provide me with whatever appropriate information there was prior to the visit so I had some idea of what I was going to ask and look for going in. And I would ask that system leader if they could provide somebody that would be their recorder, an assistant, a secretarial type person, or they could do it themselves, to sit in on the outside visitation team visit and just record those documents, those conversations, as it was appropriate in the workbook. Then I would take that with me electronically when I left. That person could send it to me, or they could use my laptop or whatever, and then sometime after that visitation team meeting, then as the chair, I would go in and look at what was recorded and make any edits that I needed to reflect the accuracy of what was talked about at the OVT visit. If I had any question about the evidence or something wasn't clear, I could then call the district leader to make sure, because what we want to do is get it right. We just want the evidence to be specific. We want it to be brief but detailed, and we want to get it right. So without rambling on any more about that, that's the best way that I think I could explain our thinking and how to use that workbook. So if you have a question or something's confusing or I missed something, please let me know. I'd be glad to discuss that with you here.
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
This is Todd. Hey, just a point of clarification. So if you have a district that is beginning in years 2, 3, 4, or 5, the expectation of the ARC would be that you would start filling that workbook out at the year of entry. You do not have to go back and fill out the years that you are not participating in this time. Is that correct?
That's correct, but I would say this, and I hope you would agree that this would make sense. So let's say that you're beginning in year three. So you're going to start recording in that syllable workbook at year three. However, I do think that it makes a lot of sense to go back in the workbook in year one and two, and even briefly go through those things and just briefly discuss them to see that, did you do your compliance stuff? Do you have your needs assessment? Do you have your teams in place? Yes, yes, yes. Just to kind of, in an orientation sort of way, just to get caught up to year three, right? You can't ignore what should have happened in year one or two, but to your point, you don't have to record all that and fill that out for the first 2 years. We totally understand this first go-around with this staggered implementation that we have, that the ARC, and we're working really hard with them, and they're a great group of people, and we talked about it, and we're talking about it again tomorrow at our next meeting. We understand there's some alternative or modified version for those first couple, 2 or 3 years that you've accelerated through, but obviously you want to touch base that those things have happened. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I agree. Thank you.
So from a documentation standpoint, the ARC is going to work really hard, and they've got some considerations to make this first go around. Now, if everybody was starting at year one, which they're not, then it would be a little more to the script, probably a little less lenient on some of the opportunities that districts would have it to do a different way. I think the most difficult thing for me has been to help systems understand that you're all unique, and no two systems are going to have the exact same process, exact same challenges and needs, and we want to be respectful of that. And again, we just want an accurate documentation of your body of work. So when that leads to getting that particular evidence, however much it is the first go-around to the ARC, that they have the right information to make a good decision about their recommendation.
Bill, this is Linda Thurston from Central Heights. Since we're in year five, and, you know, we wanted to see the progression that we have done in our school district. So I think it's really important for the districts, especially in year two and three, to document what they've done and that they have improved their process throughout the first 1 or 2 years. And so I guess I've encouraged Linden, which I'm chair for Linden, and I've encouraged them to look back, what did you do last year, and, you know, what are we doing this year, and then we show the improvement of our process.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point, and so I don't want to contradict myself, and I don't want to say that we have a low bar of expectation with any issue. But you're a perfect example of our belief that you all want to get it right and you all want to have good evidence, and you'll do that. In other words, you're going to be a little bit more thorough than what we're really telling you you have to do in the way of filling something out or doing something. Because the end product, whether you're applying for accreditation this spring or next spring because you're year four or three, you know, I'm very encouraged by what I hear from those of you that are doing that work. And I will say briefly, and I think Michelle, and she's on here, will agree, Central Heights and Leota and Lewisburg, in particular as year five, after tomorrow when we meet with the ARC and we sort of finalize some of the things that we've been saying, because we want them to feel good about this too, you can expect for us to be reaching out to you pretty frequently between now and the spring, which is here almost, you know, we're talking, you know, a month or 2 months away, and then the last ARC meeting in the spring is April 11th, to continue to dialogue with you to help you with just those types of things. Because, you know, you're the first ones to come to the finish line, and we want you to be represented the way that you know you should be, and we just want to make sure we're giving you all the assistance we can to do that. So I appreciate your comment, and I would agree with you.
Bill, this is Holly Francis. I'm chairing a couple of districts, and through conversation with each of them, we feel like it's advantageous for both the system and the OVT chair and or team to fill in information into that workbook. For example, the system, as they're preparing for the spring visit, you know, going through and making sure that they understand as well what are some of the things or what are all of the things that they need to be sharing during that spring meeting. And as they do that, they are just typing in that information into the workbook. Then when the spring visit comes, us looking at it and, of course, making revisions or adding recommendations, et cetera. Is that acceptable?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's fine. That's another way to do it, but I don't want to sound like I keep parroting the same thing over and over. What we want is for the chair to have the documentation of what happened, in this case with the workbook, to provide with the ARC. So however that happens is fine. But the chair is giving us, if you will, an assurance that these were the conversations and these things happened and these things take place. So in other words, if you have the system filling it out and giving it to the chair, and the chair is understanding that they're going to submit this fillable portion to the ARC, that has to be accurate. I mean, it has to be, they're giving us their assurance that this is what happened. So what I would not want to happen, and I know you're not suggesting this, is for the system to fill it out, hand it to the chair, and the chair pass it along. That wouldn't be the intent.
No, the intent would be, as they're just preparing for the visit, is to fill in some of that information. But then, of course, during the spring visit, as that information is being shared and discussions are taking place, that can be and will be revised by the OVT and the team to make sure that it is accurate and that, you know, nothing's been left out or something is not correct.
Sure. But remember, what we are not saying at KSDE, and this gets to be a little point of confusion, we are not saying that the system needs to fill out that workbook. We've just made that available so that the system understands everything that the OVT is going to ask and want to know and prepare. So I think in that manner of speaking, you know, what you're doing is fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Bill, this is Linda Thurston again. I'm thinking that if what she, you know, talked about with the system filling it out and then the OVT comes in and visits, part of the workbook has the celebrations and recommendations. And I think that is a very crucial part for the OVT when we are there visiting with the system, that we really look at those and then we do the recommendations or the celebrations. This is really, really a good thing that you're doing, you know, and we really highlight those for the systems to say, hey, this is really good. However, there are some recommendations. Can we go a step further in this? And I see those questions in that workbook being a vital part of the OVT visit.
Well, thank you, and I think you make a really good point. And so one place, Linda, to support your comments is that's also a great – so the way this is set up is your system will identify two primary goals. And so really the crux of your work, as we see it, really focuses on what you're doing and the growth you're showing relative to the goals that you've selected. That doesn't mean that all the other stuff is not important. So if you selected responsive culture and relationship, then relevance and rigor may not be a point of emphasis, but you're still working in those areas. You're always doing that. Those are sort of maintenance areas, and they may be areas that you didn't focus on because there are some things you're really proud of. There are some good things happening there, and that would be the perfect type of information to put in those celebrations, you know, to say, look, we may feel like we're implementing in a relationship with our community and we're transitioning in the development of our curriculum, but over here with technology and some other things, we're really knocking that out of the park. We're kind of modeling in that area, and we want to accentuate the fact that while we're addressing some challenges, we've got some areas that are really going well, and we want to share that too, because the ARC wants to know the body of your work. While the focus for them is going to be on your two goal areas, absolutely we want you to get credit for those things that you're doing well and have been doing well. So that's a great point. Any other questions about the utilization of the workbook and its intent and how you might use that? And you know, any opportunity, we would really appreciate this. And I know you do this already, but I'll say it anyway. Any opportunity that you have in other meetings around the state or as these conversations come up, and they do, that you can share this information, or you can let other people know who maybe are colleagues of yours that are superintendents or chairs and you're talking about stuff, you know, share with them what you're doing, ask them what they're doing, how they're using it. There's not a week that goes by where someone doesn't make a suggestion or say, this is a type of strategy that we're implementing that doesn't make sense, that we don't steal and make it our own and share with others too. You know, we want that to be the case. So I don't think this. Go ahead, please.
This is Amy Rother from Weston, Kansas. And I was just wondering, on page 11, it talks a little bit about civic engagement and has a box there. I'm not understanding what we're supposed to be filling in there.
Let me look here. I have it right here. What these pages are, and that's following up on some of the needs assessment things, that's an opportunity, I think, along the lines of what Linda was saying, that's an opportunity to talk about what's happening there. Because, as you know, the Kansas Can vision, leading the world in the success of each student, of every student, and then the board, state board definition of a successful high school graduate includes those academic, cognitive, technical, and employability skills. And then after that, there's been a lot of talk about an emphasis on civic engagement. And so it's a place to record some of that information. And so I think what we did in developing the workbook was to give you places and opportunities to be able to put those things in there that are, one, important to the board and us here at KSDE, but also a placeholder for you to put data, information, anecdotal type things about your school improvement process, and that's being one of them. You know, and it may be that there are some places where there's a question or there's some space where you could put something in there that you don't complete it, or you're working on that, or, you know, maybe that's an area where we would expect you to be doing something with that now, but it's not really a focus area. But the fact that it's in the workbook brings it to your attention that it is also important.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. So I might ask then if we want to move on from the workbook, and if something comes up, we can come back to that, certainly. Are there any other issues or concerns, whether they be logistical or any questions about your OVT members or your communication or any expectations that you have? Is there anything in any of those areas that you either want to share that's a positive or a challenge or something that maybe isn't working as ideally as you would like, something we can help with?
For our OVT spring chair meeting, I'm having a real hard time getting the four schools together all in one day. If I can't get one of those team members there, can we have them just be there by phone, or do we have to have a day where every team member can be there?
Okay, so this is one of those conversations where I don't want to be misquoted. The expectation is because there's one visit each year in the spring, we would like for everyone to be there. Now, the reality is somebody has a sick child, the weather is bad, they have a conflict they just absolutely can't get out of that involves their own employment, and they can't get there. Can they call in? Can you Zoom in or something like that? Absolutely. What we don't want to say is you don't have to have your visit in person and that it's okay to Zoom and conference, because we do want you there at least for that day to be participating in that visit. So the expectation is that everyone will be in attendance. The reality is that we know that things happen, and under those circumstances, just do the very best that you can. Another note that I have made that has to do with some of the questions I get has to do with focus groups. Anybody have a thought or a question? I could lead in by throwing that out there. Focus groups is the topic, kind of like Jeopardy. Now you make up the question. Anybody have a concern about focus groups? And if I'll answer it that way, and if not, I'll tell you what I think about the focus groups.
The concern, this is Linda Thurston, the concern that I have heard about the focus group basically has been terminology.
Right.
What is defining a focus group? Because it's just a different term. My understanding, it's our site councils and our school board and those kinds of groups, our student council members, that will encompass community members besides just school people.
Right. So the definitions of the focus groups we've included in the glossary in the back of the workbook on page 71. And we've listed focus group for building and focus group for system. And so I won't read those to you, but they're there. The focus groups are this. So what we do not expect is for the chair and the OVT to have an on-site visit with the district leadership team, and that's it. That's not what we would expect, although that's a part of it. What we would expect is, and this would begin in the agenda setting process, is that some representative group, which is why we're a little vague calling them focus groups, that some representative group or groups would participate in the outside visitation team visit. So here's the way that might look. So the OVT and the chair is meeting with the district leadership. And the district leadership, let's say, was a small district, maybe a K-12 building, and the focus group is going to be your site council. And your site council basically represents K-12 because you have a district site council and a building site council. But because you have a small community, maybe your district site council is made up of six people, but of the same six, four of those could actually be your building site council because you can't find 12 people, but you can have six. So your focus group might be your site council who represents could be staff members of the school, could be community members, could be business partners who are also community members, and so on. And so in that situation, that's a focus group. The intent is for the OVT to hear from others other than the system leadership that there's a transparency, that we have buy-in, that we have stakeholder groups outside of the district leadership and outside of employees. We have a community focus. And that focus group or those people contributing to this process, the OVT visit, would be appropriate. Now, let me give you another example in a very large district. If you take Wichita with, I don't know, whatever they have, 100 schools, you can't have 100 groups show up on this day representing each school. But your focus group, and again, this goes back to the agenda setting and the conversations between the chair and the district leader up front, your focus group might be that you've got 45 elementary schools, so let's have a focus group comprised of 6 people who represent perhaps 6 different elementaries who are representing the elementary segment of your school improvement process. And so they would be there representing all of the elementary as a focus group to discuss what's happening in these buildings, how they're contributing to the school improvement process. You might have an outlier school represented in there. For example, you may have a school that has struggled somewhat. You may have an extremely accelerated school who is there. And so you would determine what your focus group or focus groups would be. Could be that during the OVT visit you have an elementary focus group and a secondary focus group. It might be that you have a district site council focus group and a combined K-12 focus group. And so the point is that the OVT sees that there is a broad-based, regardless of how big you are, a broad-based, transparent stakeholder group participation. And that's why we didn't identify real specifically what a focus group would be in every situation because, as you all know, with the size of our school systems, from the smallest to the largest, there are lots of considerations there. Does that help?
Yes, I think it does.
I'm going to go ahead and say that. Okay. And we're happy, again, if you have any questions about that, if you have stakeholder groups in your system, your district, that are participating in this process, there's really not a wrong answer providing that you have an involvement of your learning community. And you determine who that focus group is. Have you found so far the sample agendas to be helpful in laying out what that day might look like? And have you also taken the liberty to modify those in some instances about what you're doing and how you're doing that?
Bill, this is Linda, and we have made up our agenda. We've sent it to, and we worked with our chair, and I've also sent a sample agenda to Linda, and they are working on revising it and to make it, fit their school. So we have a time set, a time frame for Linden, and we have a time frame for Central Heights at this point. And on that sample agenda, we've also included who needs to be involved in the focus groups, and not by name, but by we sure. want a representative, from this and from this and from that stakeholder group. And that's basically what we've done and what I have done with Linden so far, if that's okay.
No, I think that's what we would expect to see. I think that's really good. I would say, making another comment with those setting that agenda, if you can, and Linda, share if you wish about this, is towards the end of that day, because the OVT is really only expected to be face-to-face and get together that way at the on-site visit, try to build in, if you can, a little time at the end of the day where just you, the chair, and the OVT can have some amount of time, even if it was a half an hour or so, kind of recap the day. What did it look like? What concern, you know, to share, because you as the chair, as you're documenting in the fillable workbook, and then also in what we haven't talked about this morning yet either, is the annual summary. You want to make sure that what you saw and what you thought and some of your perspective for that day are shared by the OVT. Because as soon as you conclude with your remarks, either in the OVT workbook and the annual summary, which is another brief report, we want you to share those with the district leadership, because there is no "I got you here." There is no "whoop, that's it, we're done, that's the way it's going to be." That's not the way it works. If something isn't correct, get it corrected. If something was left out, put it in there. If you say, "This is what we saw and didn't see," and the district leadership says, "Well, we did show you that," or if they didn't and they want to provide it to you, some form of documentation, some sort of something, and they want to get it to you after that or shortly after that, that's totally appropriate. You know, the idea is to just get it right.
We've allowed almost 2 hours. One is a debriefing with the district's leadership team, and then about an hour for the final summary. The OVT will meet with the superintendent and the chair of our district leadership team. And that's going to be our debriefing and summary, so that the OVT will have plenty of time to hopefully, you know, summarize all of this.
Yeah, that's very good. So here at KSDE, we're in the process, and we have a target date to go into production of March 15th with the final report. So what I'm talking about is, you're all familiar with the initial report. You went in and you put your information, your submitter information, where you're starting in the process, who your chair is, and then where you were relative to each of the four R's. And then you listed with you checked the radio buttons with respect to social, emotional, kindergarten readiness, individual plan of studies, graduation rate, post-secondary, and civic engagement. You've done all that. You've given the insurances and so on. So what we've done is we've taken that exact same application in the authenticated applications, that is the initial report, and that same report will now have the final version, so at the end, where you can mark those things again that would give you a before and after snapshot. And so that will be there, and so will be that annual summary report. Now tomorrow, one of the things that we're doing with the ARC is we're working on those annual reports. And there are 5 questions on each of the report, and they're basically question prompts. You know, Did you have an identified goal, and were there strategies exemplified during the visit that you're making progress, so on, so on. And so, you know, we're talking about brevity, but it's just a recap of what you saw that is in that report. Now, we will be granting permissions to the chair, and we'll be doing this starting sometime in the next couple of weeks, that you'll have access to that report where you can go in and you can put your comments. As soon as you post your comments in there, everyone who has access to that, the system leader and whoever has access to that initial report, can see it. And we would hope that the chair would delegate responsibility at that visit or right prior to that visit happening, when you first get on site, and say, okay, I'm the chair, and I will do the little final wrap-up. I would like you, chair member number one, to make some comments about their efforts on Goal 1. You, OBT member, make a few comments on Chair 2, so they're participating. And then you'll just put that report together. And I don't see that being as a real extensive thing, but it's a recap. And when you put that in there, then the system leadership can see that. And if that needs to be modified or something isn't reflected accurately or missed or whatever, then again, you can go in there and edit that and change that. But that information is going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. I will be sending that to you and letting you know about that. So in summary, what's happening, summary again, the chair is going to see that here's what the chair is going to do. You're going to make contact initially with the system leader. You're going to select a date. You're going to come up with an agenda. You're going to lead the OBT at the visit. You're going to ensure that the fillable workbook for whatever year you're in this case maybe year one, that's filled out, and you and your colleagues, maybe at the end of the visit that day when you have some time together, you're going to fill out this very brief annual summary, and you're going to have that, and there you go. So the date, the agenda, fill out the respective pages for that year's visit, and a brief annual report, and you have that documented, and then you're done with that. And then that information will be transparent to the district leader. If they want to call you and say, I thought this or I felt this, and you agree that that happened and you want to modify it a little bit to get it right, then by all means, please do that. Good conversation and good questions, by the way. I appreciate that. Any other topic, anything sort of related, anything off topic a little bit, though, that impacts your work as a chair or as a system leader in years 1, 2, and 3?
Bill, this is Sue Jenkins from Southwest Plains.
Hi, Sue.
Hi. Just point of clarification. Let's say I have an OVT who doesn't get their annual summary report done by the end of the day. I see a deadline of May 1. Is that a good guideline for us to use as we support chair?
I think, again, Sue, it's a great question. It's a fair question. We would hope that those things would be done sooner than later, and you as a chair and you as an OVT want to get that completed. I think I would answer it this way, and Michelle is still there. I would welcome her to chime in. We want you to get that to us as soon as you can, just simply so we have that to provide the ARC to do their work. The longer it takes for a system and their team, their OVT team, to get that together and get to us, it's just going to push back that timeline. I think what we're talking about right now is the ARC meeting in April and making some determinations that lead to a recommendation, and then perhaps being on the state board agenda as early as June with the first few systems that are coming across to make a recommendation. And
I would agree with Bill in that the district doesn't want to delay that because that's not going to look very good on their report, on their behalf as far as that goes either. So, I agree with you. I'd push to get it done as quick as possible and provide them a deadline as well, I think.
Thank you.
And I will tell you that in this first go-around with the few number of systems in year 5, I'm going to be watching you like a hawk and helping you and calling you and where are you and just trying to help you understand the deadlines and not in a critical way but in a supportive way to help through this. I think what we're going to understand here at KSDE, it's easy to talk about all these things, but in reality as they happen, there may be some situations, there may be some time frame things. It might be that a year from now we say, you have 2 weeks to submit if that's what we want, or something. right now we're not doing that because we want to get it right. We want to support you, and we want to see how it goes. And where we hit some rough spots or come across some challenges, we want to get those fixed, and we want to address those so that they're helpful. Anything else? I would go back to, I was thinking about a question that Todd Wiedemann asked earlier about filling out the workbook. Say, for example, if you start in year three, do you have to fill out the workbook years one and two? The answer to that is really no. But if you look in the workbook also on page 67, there's that green sheet, which is the detailed steps that we broke down each year, have broken down each year. But on page 67 is the green sheet that lists each year in a chronological sequence, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what should happen. So, Todd, thinking about your question, that may be a good thing to use and go through there. Say, we're starting in year three, but let's look at the green sheet, and let's go to the top of the page, and let's just go down the list of expectations in year one and just say, yep, got it. There's even a box over there, if you're familiar with the workbook or happen to have it with you. The first row says, column says complete. So you can just check that. Now, I hate to say checklist because I don't like to tell anybody that we have any kind of a checklist mentality. But in order to get you up to date, that may be a good process to follow. Just go through those things and assure that those things have happened. And it might be that there are a few pieces of documentation that you'll need to see. So if you're not starting with a needs assessment because you're in year three, that system leader, they need to articulate to you that we had a needs assessment process and here's what it was, or even show it to you or hand it to you and just assure us that it happened. But you don't have to do all the documentation. So I'm running out of content to share with you today. Unless you have some other question, I'd be glad to entertain that. It's about 9 or 10 till. And I know your time is valuable, so unless there are some other questions, I don't want to just keep you for the sake of keeping you.
Thanks, Bill, for the information and help on this.
Well, you're welcome, and please let us know anytime there's something we can get to you. And we'll be in touch, too. We'll be pushing out more readily each week or 10 days or so as these ongoing developments, because it's getting to the time where people really do need that, if not new information, which there isn't a lot of it, but there is some, but also that support of you're doing fine, things are going along well, just to kind of reassure you that the work you're doing is good and it's appreciated.
I guess one last question I have about the kindergarten readiness screener. We're just wondering, can we give that in the spring, or do we have to wait until the fall for that?
That is a great question. This is Michelle. I just had this conversation with Tiffany Blevins last week. The only time you have to give it for KSDE reporting purposes is August 1st to September 20. If you as a district choose to do it again in the spring or at another point, that is absolutely fine if you feel like that's what's best for your kids and for your district.
You bailed me out, Michelle. I didn't know the answer to that one.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you bet. But August 1st to September 20 in your four-year-old program and in your kindergarten is when it is required for KSDE reporting purposes.
Good question. Thank you. Okay. So, given no other questions, I don't hear any, I guess we can end the call for today. For those of you who are interested or want to come back this afternoon, we're visiting with 4-5. 30. It'll be a Zoom. I don't anticipate that we'll have many on there, but we'll be on there just the same to assist anybody that is interested in participating in that. And again, we can't make this happen from here at KSDE. You know, we're here to support you and give you the best information that we have and answer any questions. So, again, sincerely from all of us, and I know I can speak for Michelle and Jeanette and our leadership here at KSDE, that we really do appreciate your concern for doing a good job and you're doing a good job.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Nicole. Everybody be careful
out
there today.
Bye-bye.